We are back from a bit of a hiatus because life happens, but we are here. Mick is still bald. I'm
Yay.
still a knob.
Yeah.
And we have a banger of an episode to come back with because we've been trying to organize this one for ages. And if you haven't seen the post going around made by our guest, then where the fuck have you been? Because I guarantee you've already taken some advice from them and I bet it's helped you. We are speaking to Kez Richardson, owner of Tattoo Smarter and Cockersnook.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so
You are very
much.
welcome.
Tell us about where you're doing the podcast from and the situation, please.
So I am at my mom's caravan waiting for a thunderstorm so I could possibly
Nice.
die halfway through this.
And were you originally going to go home tonight but have decided to extend it to do the pod?
I'd like to say yes, but that would be a lie. We were going home tomorrow, but I got the dates wrong. It was my partner who told me we were staying till tomorrow. I was just like, yeah, we're on holiday. Give me some beer.
Oh, I thought I was like, oh, yay, we've like encouraged you to have an extra day. We've done a good thing, but no.
Sorry. Ultimately, I did actually plan for the extra day. I just forgot.
Oh, lush though. Whereabouts in the fine land of the United Kingdom are you?
We are in Wooler, which is quite close to the border of Scotland.
Oh, that's the best
Yeah.
place in the world up there, Scotland.
Yeah, it is lovely. It's very peaceful. There's quite a lot of baby ducks currently and lots of little bunnies.
Oh, I've
Yeah.
had some duckling encounters today and it brings absolute joy.
It is,
They're
isn't it?
amazing.
It is your you've got a dog, haven't you?
Yeah.
Is your dog interested in the ducklings or bunnies for
Absolutely
massacre?
not.
Oh, that's
No,
good.
not at all. Food, he just likes food and he doesn't see them as food, so he's not really interested at all. In fact, no, that's a lie. He did bark at some earlier, but I think that's because he thought they were going to steal food.
Still his dog food.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Have you had just like a chilled week? Have you been going out and doing stuff?
Really chill. Like when we come to the caravan, it's a time to like really decompress. So it's kind of like we just sit, listen to the sounds, play Boggle.
What's
Um,
that? That's a
dom
retro cut. I haven't heard
Boggle.
from
Yeah,
Boggle
I
for
told
fucking
you I was
ages.
fucking old.
Mate, I've Boggles, it's like a little grid of like, is it dice with letters on?
Yeah.
And you like pop it and they land randomly and you have to make words out of the letters as they land.
It's a fucking primo game.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's
I used to play it with my grandma when I was little.
one of those games, like I haven't heard thought about Boggle for fucking 15 years, but say you mentioned it now. I've got, and it's because my granddad had a caravan in Wales when we were little. It was one of the games
Yeah.
me and my brother used to play. So you're in a caravan playing Boggle, which is something that I did for most of my summers when I was primary school.
Kindred spirits,
There you go.
except I'm 40. 40 years old and not in primary school now, but
That
you
was fun.
know.
I would play it though.
Yeah,
If I
it's
saw a Boggle
absolutely
now,
sound.
I saw a I got my father a novelty Father's Day card with like Tesco Value Father's Day card, but it had the blue and
Oh,
white stripes on it.
yeah.
And just looking at that, I got a real proper pang of nostalgia from just looking at the logo. And I had a pang of
Oh,
nostalgia
yeah.
when you mentioned Boggle, and my brain
Oh,
went
amazing.
whizzing off into like my granddad and my brother and all that stuff. That was nice.
How mint
Thanks.
are grandparents, though? Or, oh, I mean, in my case, we're grandparents, but
Yeah,
like,
they're like
yeah, absolutely.
they don't have to follow the rules, do they? Because they can do what they want. You want to have what do you want for you want to have ice cream and ice cream? Yeah, go for it. I haven't got to deal with it tomorrow. There you go.
My grandma used to let me freeze orange concentrate into ice cube trays, and I used to use a little tiny mustard spoon to eat this frozen concoction. That was like my favorite thing to do. And then we used to sit and watch South Park at 9 o'clock. That was like every Friday night. That's what me and my grandma used to do.
My
She did not play by the rules.
what were they what were those soda stream, the fizzy drink machines that you made at home?
I've got one now.
Yeah, my granddad. Honestly,
sorry, do you?
That was that. You were very excited. My granddad had one of them, and he had do you remember Tizer? I don't know if it's still around.
Fucking love
Unreal,
Tizer.
Unreal. Yeah.
So he used to do. So you used to get. There's a little line in the. So it's a glass bottle. You get a little line where you put the syrup up to the line. Granddad used to do 3 times the syrup. So me and my brother were fucking shit faced off our tits, running around his house, knocking all his stuff over, and he just did not give a fuck.
He's the boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He knows. Yeah. So that's a bit like when I used to work at a pub and we used to neck the post mix. Have you ever done that?
No.
Oh my God.
But I've seen someone where they were like in a Nando's or something, and it was the refill your own drinks or whatever. And if you hold your, so it's the mix on one side and the water on the other side. Hold your glass at an angle, you can just get straight scissor up in there, and they're like,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, fucking, that's gonna be that's gonna kill you.
Yeah, the post mix will make it do shit your pants.
It's 80%, it's just sugar, isn't it?
Yeah,
good stuff though. I've got a question. I've heard people say it, but I don't really know what it means. Cock a snook, is that to like look down your nose at someone?
No, it's when you put your thumb to your nose and waggle your fingers like this.
Right.
So it's like an old time word. So I read at the time when I named the shop, like Victorian. So to cock is the action of putting your thumb to your nose, and then your nose is a snook. So it's cock a snook. Right. And the reason why I named the shop that is because I'd worked for 3 really fucking awful men before I opened my shop. Right. And it was a really polite way of telling them to fuck off without calling my shop.
Fuck off,
fuck
lads.
Off. Because that's how I was. I was really quite cross. I shouldn't have opened when I opened my shop. But I felt like I didn't have a choice because I just didn't want to keep going through the same misogyny and coercive control that was happening. Industry-wide, it still is.
Yeah.
So
it still is.
Is one of the shops that I have just been aware of for so long. Like, it's just been in my consciousness, I guess, just forever. Like, how long have you had it?
So this is the 14th year of having the shop.
Wee. Awesome. That's great.
Which is wild, isn't it?
That's fab. Yeah. Our friend Jo Black, she's celebrating the 13th year of Black Moon this year.
Amazing.
And which is a great number. And
the gothest of all the numbers, isn't
the
it?
Gothest of all the numbers, yeah. So how did you do you say you shouldn't have opened it at the time? Were you like early on in tattooing, or was it just like a weird
far
time?
Too early. Yeah, like I'd been tattooing like fucking 2 years, 2.5 years.
Oh, really?
Like absolutely ridiculous when I opened my shop. But I just had such a set idea about how I wanted to treat clients and how I wanted my studio environment to be, and that I also wanted to feel safe. Uh-huh. And I'd had 3 really bad experiences. And I was like, nah, I know I can do this better. And not coincidentally, the 3 shops that I worked for, none of them are open now. So, you know, I mean,
it is what it is.
I don't recommend opening a fucking tattoo studio though at 2 years, 2.5 years, because you're still learning your craft. Like, yeah. I'd be much better at tattooing now had I not have taken on a business. And we got busy quick. We were in magazines really early. I was writing a column for a magazine. All of those things took away from my craft. So it's kind of like sometimes you feel like you have to choose one or the other because it's a lot of work. But yeah, if I could go back, I probably would have waited. Maybe. I don't know. I might not have done, you know, I am really impatient.
Did you feel that it was your only option because you thought, well, everywhere is going to be, if I've had this 3 times in a row in 2.5 years, maybe I'm the way of changing it rather than hoping that it'll, where I go next will be different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just didn't like the idea of other people being in control of what I was doing. You know, like I really, really cared about, you know, my clients and just having a nice, safe environment and not being constantly stressed out. Like one of the shops that I worked at, I feel like I can say this, I'm not going to name anyone, but it's also in one of my seminars that I did at Brighton. So I've talked about this before. You know, one of the studios I worked at, they basically forced me on a night, a works night out, on the day of moving house, and basically told me, if you don't come to this works night out, you're gonna get sacked.
Yeah, I've worked places before where it's like you can force me to come to that, but you can also pay me for it. If you want me to come and that becomes part of my job, pay me for it. Pay me. I'll give you an hourly rate for the time that you want me to be there, because it's bollocks. And it's, I think it's a whole problem with, I've worked in construction companies, which are pretty similar, like just loads of dudes who are uncontrolled and haven't ever really had, they've someone's come in and told them you can't call women this, you can't hit them on the arse anymore, but they think that they can still say this thing, and it turned round into bullying everyone. So it's, I think it's just old dudes being pricks.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is. And you know, I opened myself up to a lot of that, I guess, when I opened my studio. But even, you know, like at the beginning when I started tattooing, like I'm quite, I guess, opinionated. I'm quite blunt, and I sometimes don't take no for an answer. So like I was coming up against these men who'd been in the industry for a long time and that had all this control and all the success already when I was, you know, still pretty young, but I just couldn't back down and didn't want to back down. So I was butting heads. I continue to butt heads now, not only with those men, but with people who still carry the misogyny, you know, and they internalize it, because we've still got a lot of women in the industry as well who, okay, I don't want to use the term pick me, but you know, they're also kind of like really deeply rooted in that, and they might not see that their behavior is problematic as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, old white dudes spoil it for everybody everywhere. And the ones that say, oh, it's not me, you're just as much of the problem, because you're not calling people out. You're not trying to change it.
Not all men. Yeah. Bye, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like you said, with everything.
Yeah.
Tattooing is a lot worse, but.
It really is. And if you know it's not all men and you know it's not you, you don't need a challenge. You literally go, fuck me, that sucks. How can I help? Not let's push back, because you are, that you then become part of the problem. You are the problem.
I think it's very, very, if it isn't directly victim blaming, it's victim blaming adjacent, isn't it? Just by saying anything. You say, oh, well, you know, takes two to tango. You're arguing all the time. But if you're arguing, I know, like, people in relationships who say, oh, you would just argue all the time. It's not, no, one of you's a prick for 90% of the time. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you might lose, or it'll be, you know, like a straw that broke the camel's back type thing, and you might go lose your head, and head's gone, and you shout in front of people, and they go, oh my god. And it's always, you know, it's usually women, and it goes, oh, they can't hack it, they're emotional, and the reason that dudes have got away with it for so long is because when we talk about emotions, anger is not included in that list of emotions.
Absolutely.
Dudes are allowed to be angry all the time.
Yeah, and you'll find that's their only fucking emotion. Yeah. It's anger, 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 anger all the time. Like, I put out a post, it was last year now, on the Tattoo Smarter page, and I'd written just a carousel, very good for engagement, if anyone wants to know that. and yeah, this, I basically wrote that we're not therapists. Like, that is not our job. Our job is to make tattoos. You can actually do a great deal of harm to another person if you step into the role of therapist when you're not qualified. You say the wrong thing, you could harm somebody. Yeah. You know, I think it's really egotistical to try and step into that role, because it's kind of like, know your lane. Like, that is not our lane. We're here to make nice tattoos. We're here to give good customer service. But ultimately, we don't have that expertise. So, you know, I wrote a post about it, you know, saying we'd be much better off to signpost clients to actual services with professionals who've got proper governing bodies. So it's all kind of like legit. And there were some very angry men, angry white men, weirdly enough. They seem to really
Strangely.
not like what I'm doing. Yeah, it's so strange. I've never had that before. And like, yeah, there was literally like, I remember this one guy, he was out there calling me a cunt and resharing all my things. And I just thought, you know, wow.
Wow.
And I'm hysterical. I'm emotional.
Yeah.
No, you were very
Yeah.
angry about me trying to help clients. Weird.
That brings us quite nicely onto Tattoo Smarter. For people who haven't heard of it or seen your post, could you explain what it is, what you're doing?
So essentially, obviously I've had my shop for 14 years. I have made loads of mistakes. I have burnt out. I have thought, fuck it, I'm not tattooing anymore. Had breaks, you name it, in the 14 years that I've had the shop. And I mean, even tattooing before that, I'd gone through a lot of stuff, as most people do in tattooing. Like, after a while, you know, everyone comes across the same kind of issues. And I just had got to a stage where I had taken on some juniors, and they were describing, you know, things that had happened to them and things that they hadn't been taught, like they hadn't had hepatitis injections before they came to me, lots of this kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, it's 14 years later and these things are still happening. Like, the industry still hasn't changed enough. So I kind of just got to the point where I was like, you know what, I'm gonna make a page. I'm gonna do something about it. I love coaching people. At one point I was actually a strength coach and nutrition coach, which I did alongside tattooing, and then I gave up tattooing for a bit to do that solely. Because I just really like helping people. I like coaching. I went back to tattooing and I was like, I miss coaching. How can I, you know, include that still in my life? And obviously I've got lots of experience with tattooing and running a shop. And after burning out so many times, having very, very like firm boundaries, and I guess I wanted to share that. So yeah, that's pretty much where it came from. I'd started to put things in place to stop me from burning out when I went back to tattooing. For instance, I developed like a digital booking process. I changed my equipment. I now don't wear tight clothes for work, stuff like that. Because I haven't mentioned, also I was diagnosed autistic through this a few years ago. So yeah, I just really wanted to help raise industry standards, and I wanted to make it a bit better. I'm sick of the misogyny, the homophobia, the transphobia, all of it. We've got a lot of the bad isms, and I feel like because we're completely unregulated, realistically, a lot of that goes unchecked. Because you know, we've got self-employed artists working in places where, because they're self-employed, there's no like employment laws. You know, even owners don't have any rights either. So we've got a whole load of people that don't have any rules, that are just kind of free falling. And I think it can feed into a toxicity. And I think it needs to change. Like, I feel like tattooing's really far behind other industries. Like, we're just so unprofessional. I can't put into words how sad I am about that, because I feel like it makes everybody unhappy. And I think when tattooers are happy, then the industry in general like is raised up. So yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel when customers come in and say that they've had negative experiences in different shops, and it could be from anything from bad customer service to tattoos that they've not been happy with, or poor aftercare afterwards, like if they've contacted, or just, you know, any range of things. If they say that they are dissatisfied, I feel so sad that there isn't any, there isn't, yeah, there isn't that governing body. There isn't anybody that they can go to, you know,
There should be
like
a
if we
tattoo
have a problem with
ombudsman.
our bank. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If we have a problem with our bank, there is a complaints procedure. There's an ombudsman. If we have a problem with our insurance, there's an ombudsman. There isn't. All you can do is go to that shop and say, oh, as a shop, can you help? But yeah, there isn't, and then they ultimately have to end up paying if they have a tattoo that they're not happy with, for example, they then have to pay again to have it fixed by somebody else. And I've had quite a few people contact me recently where they've been tattooed by other shops and been really dissatisfied with the tattoo and have asked me to touch it up in their words, and have then been surprised if I say that there will be a charge. And it's like, I feel like there's just not the information. So we haven't got enough information sometimes as tattooers. The information that you're putting out is so useful, but also as customers, they haven't got that information either about the standard practices.
Yeah, I think that goes back to the fact that we don't necessarily educate our clients very well. There's still a lot
Yeah.
of secrets and gatekeeping in tattooing.
100%.
And I think the gatekeeping in itself is keeping people in the dark. And I think that keeps the industry very small, but in a bad way. The people who
Yeah.
are gatekeeping are actually damaging the industry, I think, because people will do what they'll go away and do whatever they want anyway, but wouldn't it be better to tell them the right way and the best way to go about things
Yeah.
instead of letting them like struggle through on their own? But in terms of like the touch-up thing, I think that's a really excellent point that you've brought up, because I saw recently a skincare brand, and they put a post up about tattoo like education for, you know, their clients who are buying the creams, and they use the language touch up, but they should have used the language refresh. And I actually reached out to them to say, like, you know, touch ups are free and they should be given by an artist. You know, everybody should be able to get a touch up, because obviously the healing process is an anonymity. Like, we know what we want it to look like, but you can't guarantee. So we should be given those free touch-ups, but nobody can do, you know, just a touch-up on a tattoo. That's a language you're using. So I contacted them and I said, you know, it should be refreshed, because clients need that education. You know, you're gonna have to pay for a refresh. You know, if it's in a place, you know, for instance, like your hands, it's not a clean looking tattoo. After a while, it is going to look like dog shit in some places, possibly. But as long as clients are aware of that and they are aware that they're going to have to pay for a refresh, you know, that's sound. But if you say it's going to need a touch up, they're automatically going to think it's free. So I think the language that we use to educate clients is super, super important. Coincidentally, they didn't respond, which is very disappointing, because, you know,
Yeah,
I
I wonder if
reached
it
out
was.
and I was like,
I bet it was a white man who was like, "I don't need that females influence."
The owner of that is definitely men. I know that because I did my research, because I like to know these things. I was like, who are these people?
Yeah, what I really enjoy about your page is that you do a lot of information, things that people can share and stuff that makes a lot of sense. But people can do courses, can't they? And look more in depth, and you can coach them more. If there was one bit of information that you could give out to everybody that you felt would make like the biggest impact on a tattooer's day-to-day life, what would you say? Like, do one thing to change one thing, what would it be?
Get a digital booking system, like a digital
Yes.
automated booking system.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's out there wasting so much fucking time on their admin.
Yeah.
Like, the hardest part of tattooing, I think, is one of the hardest parts is the admin, particularly the back and forth of emails.
Yeah.
So like, clients want a they want a date. You offer a date out to them. Oh yeah, no, I can't do that. But they tell you like 4 days later, or they say yes. They want the date you've offered, but somebody else has taken it. So like, you can't manage client expectations because they don't understand that process. So inevitably you end up pissing people off, and you end up in these fucking weird email chains that you just want to die from. Like, you absolutely hate these fucking email chains. They like make you want to eat your own face, or just like, just move, you know, like burn your house down, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And we're still doing this, you know, we're taking deposits on PayPal. PayPal keep loads of people's fucking money. Like, there's so many ways of like getting your professional practice like time efficient. But the thing that makes the biggest impact is having a digital system, because you're reminding your clients when they're appointment is, you've given them confirmation of all of their your pre-tattoo information. You're letting them see all of your policies at point of booking. You know, you're doing your best for that client, but you're also managing your time effectively. Like, I can get through 20, 30 requests in less than an hour. So, like, imagine your admin taking like an hour a week, and then you can go away and spend time with your fucking family or time with your dog. Or if you are a tattooer that needs to make tattooing their personality and the only thing that they have in their lives, you could spend that extra time drawing flash, like, you know, working on your craft. But yeah, a digital automated booking system will be something that every tattooer has, just like most tattooers have an iPad. It's just people haven't realized it yet.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Yeah.
That's what I use that. And it was thanks to Paula Castle, who told me that she had one. And I used it in lockdown when I had so many people to reschedule that I used that and just sent them a link out. And I was like, this is how long you need to book. And I set it up in a bit of a rush, and I could probably go back in and make it better and include more practices and stuff like that, like you said, at time of booking. But it is the one thing that's made the most difference to my life. And I tell people about it, and other tattooers who don't know, they're like, what? What is this? And honestly, it's just the best thing in the world. But the way that I do it is like, somebody will email me and I'll send them out, say, okay, this is how much it's going to be. This is when I'm booking for. This is how I work. I use an online booking system. Here's how you can pay your deposit, which is through PayPal. And then they will send a deposit, and then I'll then send them the link out for the diary system. Is that a similar way that you sort of do it?
It is similar, but mine's a lot more efficient than that. Essentially, if you wanted to, you could speak to a client once, like, you could ultimately just give them a price, and that would be the only time you had contact with them. Obviously, if you want more contact, you can, because you can set up like consultations and stuff. I love that you're shaking your head. I mean, a lot of the time, so like, the way that I use my system is if I pick up on an anxiety, or a client has a, you know, a mental health issue, or there's a disability there, or I think they need a bit more hand holding. That's it. I'll do a consultation either face to face or Zoom. But with my system, you can literally just blast them out a link so they can book that. But to be honest, like, I've spoken to Paula frequently about the system that she has, and I think it'll only be a matter of time before she's using what I've made.
When you say you've made it, is it something you've that developed it yourself, or with another company?
So it is an app, so I'm not responsible for the app, but I developed a full system so that it can work for tattooers. Ultimately, I took it from somewhere else, and I was like, I bastardized it. So I was like, right, I know exactly how I can make this work. So I offer a course on it. It's like 4 weeks long. And basically, I talk everyone from start to end, how to set it up, how to integrate everything, how to customize it to your, like, the way that you work. Because obviously, lots of tattoos are very different. There are some bits on the market, and what you'll be using, Lucy, like, it's not as customizable, because you know, it's kind of like a one size fits all. Like, with this, you can definitely do a lot more. And it actually came to me in a eureka moment, because I had been looking for a digital system for maybe like 5 years, and I kept looking at all the different salon apps, and I was like, oh mate, this doesn't fucking work. Like, you don't work like hairdressers. Like,
you haven't got half of cut and colour.
Yeah, it's like, but yeah, so I developed it. So it literally, from start to finish, it gives a follow-up with the fucking, well, I mean, they get the aftercare at the start, but like, it gives a follow-up with like an aftercare. Like, you can link it to Google review, just, you know, asking like, are you okay? How has your experience been? Is there any feedback? It really does everything and then more. But I'm very detail oriented, so I think that's possibly what some of the other apps miss, and also not to designed by tattooers. So
yeah, that's the key.
They just won't fit. They just won't fit same, because they don't go through the struggles that we do every day.
Me and Lucy have spoken about it. I make websites. We spoke for like, I don't know, maybe an hour. And we were like, no, this is too hard. We'll do it again. Then we just never bothered. But I'm aware that it's a thing that as a customer, I get frustrated with, because it will be, yeah, you booked. Like, hey, you know, 2 months, 3 months time later, and then you might send an email that says, just to check, is it this date? You don't hear back. And then you hear back on the day before. And it's like, yeah, you're coming in, start 11, call. Oh, thank, like, but it's a reply. You know, I haven't just, you know, because people will assume, oh no, you didn't, it's not very professional. You didn't reply back to me. So I assumed it wasn't on. I emailed you twice over the course of the last month, but you didn't reply. Yeah, so I've been busy. I wasn't doing my emails that week. So you're still good to come in. Can you take that day off work now or not? You know, that sort of thing. But then also, like, even little things like, how much is the tattoo? Oh, it's £400. Cool. Can I pay on a card there? No. You've got to bring cash. Okay. It's good to buy ask, because I can only take 250 out of the cash point at one time. So I'll get half of it out today and then get the other half out on my way tomorrow. That sort of thing, which I've, like, that information is never given to me. It's all just like, yeah, tattoo, rad, love your idea, yeah. Fucking bollock, let's go. Yeah, we'll have a beer afterwards. And then you never do. But you know
can I just butt in here and say, I think this is probably me being stereotypical here, in that it is taking a woman to think that these are the details that people really need. And when you have to get tattooed by men, they definitely think less about that. They think you probably don't need to know, don't get sunburned before your appointment, make sure you have a good breakfast and bring some water and some sweets,
make sure you have, like, a shower.
They would just think, well, just fucking turn up.
I also do get tattooed by women as well, just for the record.
You've got,
I don't tell you anything.
In terms of, like, societal norms, like, women are taught from, probably, can you teach babies in the womb? Probably. We are taught from very, very small to be nurturing. You know, we look after everybody. We are the caregivers. So we do consider these things where possibly men don't. It's not their fault. It's the patriarchy's fault. We all know that.
Just a button there. Sorry. I saw a tweet that I thought was very interesting. It said, why are older children that are female always such bitches? And someone replied, because we had to be parents at the age of 8. So yeah. I don't think that's, you know, a fair thing to say, but it was obviously someone being a twat. But I think, going back to Lucy's point there, like, I think you are, there's a, especially I'm hoping it's less so now, but, you know, even when I was at primary school, we still had needlework classes when, so this would have been late 80s, and while the boys were playing football, the girls were fucking altering dresses for dolls and things.
Yeah.
And that isn't a million years ago.
It's absolutely wild, isn't it?
And it's all that, but you're right, that sort of thing about being told, you know, your job will be to do this, so you might as well get onto it now.
Yeah.
So I read about this this study where they had lots of participants, but they didn't actually explain the study or the outcome of the study. And what they actually were wanting to do was study their interactions with children. And they left all of the volunteers, like, on their own, like, individually with children. And the children were AMAB children. And essentially, they leave them alone with the child, and there's lots of toys in the room. And they don't think this is part of the study, but obviously in the study, what was happening is, even the really kind of open-minded participants, even they were picking up the science-based toys for the AMAB children, and the dollies, you know, for the APAB children. Like, we're so conditioned that we don't even realize we're doing doing these things. And you know, like, a little girl is never gonna want to be a scientist if it's never ever on the table. You know, if they're just given the dollies, you know, they're given the little kitchen things, they're given the irons. I mean, my sister hated me for it, but she has two two children and a little girl, Lily. I was like, have this science kit, look at this exploding volcano. She might not have liked them, but I was like, you know, at least I had a go.
Yeah.
So what other courses do you offer from Tatti Smart?
So currently I have the automated like booking course, but then you end up with the digital system at the end. It's just you build it yourself, so you've got like full control over it instead of using an app that other people have made, I guess. And then I've also got a protect your Instagram like income course. That basically just a course that shows you how to set up your own sales list so that you can send out your flash designs, you can do like last minute cancellations and keep in contact with your clients without relying on the algorithms, like the Instagram algorithms, because obviously loads of people just don't see your shit. Like, and I know I've seen it over and over. I mean, the reason why I wrote this course is because I see so many tattooers absolutely fucking like so demoralized. You know, they think, oh, my tattoos are shit, my flash is shit, everybody hates me. Like, why is everyone else doing so well? And ultimately, a lot of that is to do with the fact that they're not shit, it's the algorithms. You know, they're showing Barbara in South Africa, who's never going to spend money on their tattoo work, they're not interested. So yeah, it's just basically that course is a way around that. So yeah, I've got that one, and I've got loads of free resources as well. It was really important to me that I had free stuff, because I do want to help. I obviously cannot help for free because I put a lot of time into it, so
Of
that's why my
course.
courses are paid. But to be honest, like, you ask any tattooer that's done my courses, they'll say they're probably worth a lot more than the cost I put on them. But I'm happy to give back.
I've definitely thought about doing them because I feel like everything, all the posts that I've seen from you have made so much sense, and a free resource, a free advice that you're giving out. And every time I look through, I'm like, God, yeah, that's so true. Like, well, I remember when you put up the post about not being a therapist to clients, and I was like, God, it's just so accurate. And I've thought a lot, like thinking, if that's what you're giving away for free, I bet there's some gold dust in your courses.
I mean, that is kind, like, I would really hope so. Like, as I say, I love coaching and I do have a lot of experience. You know, my shop is 14 years. And my first ever job in a tattoo studio was like fucking 20 years ago. You know, it was a very, very busy street shop in Nottingham. I ran the desk in there. I have to say I did get sacked because I was shit, but you know. I feel like I do have valuable things to say because I have that experience. You know, like, I've worked in some absolutely crazy shops. Like, one of the shops that I worked in, I dealt with a guy's like loan shark. Like, redecorated. Yeah,
What was
redecorated
someone who
him.
works in the shop, their loan shark?
Yeah,
Fuck
like,
me.
imagine a fucking 20, like, a what, 20-year-old girl, like, dealing with somebody's loan shark and decorating a room for them and like hiring skips and stuff. I mean, I
Fuck
am a doer and I
me.
like, but now I look back at it and I just think, oh fuck. But it's all
Yeah.
led me to this point. So I'm happy to help because I do want tattooing to be better. I don't want people to quit because I burn out. You know, I'm sick of tattooers slagging each other off online and dogpiling on each other. Like, all that shit doesn't need to be there. It doesn't need
Yeah.
to be there at all.
I feel really negative about tattooing at the moment. I feel like it's I'm quieter than I've ever been. The algorithm fucks everybody. It is depressing. There are so many tattooists around now. Like, there's a tattooer up the road who was the apprentice of the tattooer up the road who opened a shop opposite the other side of the street. And now has hired someone else. So on our street, in a 20-meter radius, there are like six tattooers. And there are also like two, four, five other tattooers in the town. And we are a small town. It is a small town. It's a small market town. And it's like, even though like our shop's been there the longest, the shop's been running, been there 40, 15 years, something like 16 years maybe. And I've been there for 9. We're lucky to have a good reputation. My partner's worked hard to build up the reputation of the shop, and we are lucky to be so busy, but it's stressful. You hear about another tattooer starting and you're like, fuck, is this the one that's going to impact us? Like, and you see so much negativity online as well. Like, we went through all the Me Too stuff, which I, you know, is excellent. It's great people being calling out, but it lingers with you. And then and especially if other things in life are harder, it's easy to fall out of love with it.
It absolutely is. Like, so yeah, like my inbox is absolutely chocker full of tattooers panicking that they don't have as much work. They've hardly got any bookings. They've got people around them undercutting, so their prices are really, really low. There's tattooers who are panicking dropping their prices, even though they're really, really excellent tattooers. So you aren't alone in that negativity. Like, there is a lot of it kind of like overall within the industry. However, what I will say is there are so many people getting tattooed that ultimately there are enough clients for everybody. And I think the more that we try and compete with each other and look at other shops as the enemy, like the more negativity is going to happen. Like, there is definitely enough work out there and there's definitely enough for everybody to make money. I just think right now, one of the worst things that anybody can do is drop their prices, because ultimately tattooing it's a luxury item. People aren't out there spending their rent money, you know, their food money on tattoos. People don't need cheap tattoos. Nobody needs a tattoo. Like, but we do need to pay our mortgage. We need to pay our rent. We need to feed our children's. that's just what I call my animals at home, children. but yeah, like, there's a lot of tattooers who are, I mean, this is probably going to upset people, but there's a lot of tattooers out there wherein I am the cheapest and I'll not overcharge. Like, it's a badge of fucking honor. Yeah. What you're doing is throwing all of your colleagues under the fucking bus just because you think, oh, hang on, I want to appear like the nice guy, you know, so I will undercharge for my work. But ultimately, not everybody has the privilege of being able to undercharge. You know, if we go back to privilege, you know, we've got a lot of female tattooers who might be caregivers. You know, they might be paying out for more. They might not, you know, be able to afford it. And I think when we're dropping prices, we're not really thinking about that. You know, there's a lot of single tattooers with no dependents that possibly could drop their prices and it won't impact them. Or they have their own shop, so they've got other people to help pay their overhead, so they can undercharge. But ultimately, when you do that, it impacts the whole industry. It's driving all of the money out of the industry and it's making people unwell. You know, like, if you think about, I was thinking about this actually earlier because someone sent me a message asking what my minimum charge was. I remember when I first opened my shop, our minimum charge was like 40 quid. And that was, 14 years ago? You know, I think we were £50 an hour 14 years ago. And now you look at these prices that we're seeing now, people are charging 40, £50 an hour, however, later. And it's nothing to do necessarily with the quality of the work either. Like, I see loads of fucking mint tattooers really seriously undercharging for their work. But then you can't compare yourself to a better artist that chooses to undercharge or that doesn't understand that they're undercharging. Like, we need to effectively, what we charge needs to be based on data. I know it sounds fucking boring, but that's probably the autistic part of my brain. You should know your cost per tattoo. You should know all of your overheads. You should know what you want your income to be over the year. Most tattooers never think about that annual income. They come to their income by fucking accident. It's like, oh, what am I going to earn this? It's a surprise. Whereas if you apply for a job, it'll be like 20, 24 grand, 30 grand a year. But when Tati was our pricing, they just go, oh, him up the road charges 50 quid. So I'm a bit better than that. So I'll do 60. Or there's a mint tattooer in Leeds who does the best work I've ever seen. And he's only £400 a day. So I can't charge as much as that. Like that's literally how tattooers do their pricing. None of
So
it is
true.
data driven. It's all emotion as well. Like people are
Yes.
pricing with emotion.
I've
But
literally
and you
seen
get to
people who are 10 years in plus going, how much should I charge for that? I've heard them say it.
crazy. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's absolutely
I don't fucking
mad.
know. I don't
I
fucking know.
say it. Yeah, and
How
that's
much would you
another
pay for that, rather?
example. It's another example of how unregulated the industry is, because if there was just like a, you know, like a line, like a Bank of England interest rate that everyone could just like follow. I'm not suggesting this, you know, it's not like I don't want it to be regulated to that extent, but
That
it's
would be
just there
funny.
is no price to it.
You're on the committee. You're on the committee. You
Yeah.
are too
They were gonna
shit to
set
charge that much money. Turn your
Yeah,
money down.
everyone could have their
You can
ring.
charge up like that.
I mean, to be fair, if it was regulated, it would literally be like give all of your money to the Tory party. You know, that
Oh my
fiver that
God.
you were
Absolutely.
saving, they just take that as well.
And then just like punch you in the face at the same time.
And then ask you
Fuckers.
why you're not saying thank you.
Yeah. I know they're just it the minimum charge like is hard, isn't it? Because our minimum charge is £50, and what I consider that is to be something tiny that it's going to take. And I just drew up some tiny flash that I know will take me 10 minutes in total. And then I consider anything under like the like 20 minutes maybe in total with a customer is going to be like the very minimum. And then
Is that
it's
including all the, sorry to butt in, is that including all the, hi, how are you? Let me just clean up
I wanted to
this
butt
and
in
put
and say this
everything.
as well, because I
Because
bet you're
I
just
bet
thinking of
that
are
20
you not
minutes
just
sounds
thinking
very
about
short.
needle time? So like if you
No,
think
I mean,
about
like,
getting the stencil on, drawing the design, you can literally bang one out them in 20 minutes.
I'm really quick. I think this is where ADHD is a massive benefit to my tattooing practices. I'm really, really fast. I don't fuck about, and I normally it'll take me, you know, like a couple of minutes to set up or get set up before they come in, and I'm quite like in and out with minimum charge stuff. So I do try and like I consider that because a minimum like. One of the things I've drawn up in my like minimum charge flash is, I know, like a butterfly that's the size of my thumbnail, and that would take me 2 minutes to tattoo. So, but then like the minimum charge in other shops that I've worked at are like 150, and I know they're different areas of the country, but even like in London, there seems to be no regulate, no. Nothing, there's a lot of difference is what I'm trying to say. Some shops are 80, some shops are 150.
So you've got to think when you're setting prices, a lot of that can also be to do with overheads as well. So like when we look at prices, we don't actually consider how much money it takes to run a shop. Like you have lots of shops that how do I say it? They are fucking about in terms of like what they pay for, so they might actually store all of the hazardous waste up into a fucking room and then put it in black bags and dump it into the woods or fucking whatever shit they're doing. I know that the shop's doing that because I've seen it. Like I've literally seen photographs of this. Like,
My
you know,
God.
some people
Wow.
aren't charging to get, they're not paying to have their waste taken away. They haven't got the right insurance. Like, there's loads of places that are not paying for the proper stuff. Like there is, they might not even realize that they're doing it half of the time. But then you've got, you know, other shops that their overheads might be for their rent, it might be absolutely extortionate. Or like, for instance, in my shop at the minute, the thing that's costing me loads of money is having my regular commercial waste taken away. It's an absolute fucking fortune. Like, so where we are in Newcastle, I get small business rate relief because I'm a small business, which means I don't have to pay council tax, which sounds great, doesn't it? This is another fucking Tory thing. It sounds mint that I'm getting council tax relief. I'm not paying council tax. However, to pay to get my rubbish taken away costs more than fucking council tax. So they just get you in the end anyway. But yeah, I'm absolutely livid about the bin situation.
Wow. Yeah, I know somebody takes their rubbish home, which is probably illegal, but puts it in their bin at home.
Yeah.
Probably get fined thousands if you get caught doing that. I don't know.
Nobody does get fined though. Like all this shit's happening and it's like, I mean, how many reels do you see with people with unwrapped beds, people rubbing fresh tattoos on each other?
I
like
see
fucking
stuff like
hell.
That, and I don't know what I'm talking about. And I see stuff and I go, ooh,
Did you see that reel the other day about, just debating whether to say it or whether to just cut it out. But the six tattooers at Download who all tattooed each other in a circle, and they had six pots of ink on one armrest, and they were just all,
oh dear.
And I was like, oh, that's, how do you know you're dipping in the right
pot?
Well,
hang
what
on.
If you accidentally...
Was it one, hang on a minute, one ink per different person getting tattooed?
Yeah. So there was like six
fuck off, like
tattooers.
just fuck off. Fuck off. Like that's the end of that. Like it's fucking gross, mate.
But there's dripping and cross contamination.
Yeah,
thing.
Spraying,
there's basic
and,
stuff, isn't it?
Like when Danielle and Tim and I all tattooed each other, we were all laying on our front on a tattoo bed. And our setup was like, I don't know, 5'9" away from Danielle's setup, and then like 5'2" away from that.
It's three
This
different
was all,
stations.
Yeah, totally. This was one station, but just six different pots on one, and they're just all sitting in a row in a circle.
So a festival though, isn't it? Different rules.
Download,
gotta be rock and roll, man. You got fuck the rules. Come on.
Yeah.
Be rock and roll, be punk, man.
Hepatitis can live outside of the body.
Give someone a
for
blood
like
disease,
three.
mate.
3 weeks it can live outside the body on some surfaces.
Oh,
like
wow.
And to be fair, I feel like not enough tattooers seem to either know or care, which is a real issue. It's a huge issue. Like I literally saw a reel the other day and it was like matching friendship tattoos. And they're touching them off each other. They're like open wounds and they're like, hey, how are you?
I've
like
seen that.
Rubby
is
rubby.
That, is
like
that
what
just
the fuck?
Is that from the shop though, or is that the clients just doing that because they haven't been
told?
Oh,
it's in the shop, and the shop's posted them. Like,
right, yeah, that's bad.
Like,
so the shop doesn't care or doesn't realize.
They're posting for the clout, you know? It's like, how many likes can this get? Because the local authorities never step in. Like, and it's absolutely mad to think like everybody lost their shit over Foxgate, like, fucking went berserk over it, but nobody will call out. Like, not that I'm into dogpiling, because I fucking hate it, I really hate it, but like nobody has that energy for calling out when people put actual clients' health at risk. Like, some people can die from hepatitis, yet somebody gets ripped off, which obviously is awful, but nobody's shouting about that.
I see what you mean.
We had in Teesside, we had a guy actually die of sepsis who'd been tattooed at a home studio. Nobody's posting about that. Somebody fucking died in tattooers, radio silence. A woman ripped somebody off. Everyone goes fucking berserk. And if someone tells me that misogyny isn't in tattooing, they're fucking lying.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I've got a question. It goes back to something you said earlier, because I've seen some of your posts that are about boundaries, about having boundaries and tattoos.
Yes.
How hard is it for you to set your boundaries with other tattooists? Like you said earlier, my inbox is constantly full of people saying stuff. Is it something that you've had to say, I can't, personally, do you say I have to step back for a bit because there's too much going on? As soon as something kicks off, you get bombarded with stuff. How do you set your own boundaries with other tattooists?
That's a good question.
So
thank you.
So to be honest, like, I'm just so transparent with everybody who asks me for help. Like, I'm really happy to help. Like, I do a question and answers every Monday in my stories, and everyone, like, I have messages sometimes saying I'm waiting for your stories because I'm going to ask a question. But like, majority of the time, people know they can send me messages anytime, like when it's on their mind. Like this, you'll know, being ADHD, sometimes you just have to get it out there immediately. But people don't expect an instant response from me, and even if they did, they wouldn't get one. A lot of the time, if someone sends me like a message, I can just say, like, you know, I'm not in the right headspace for this right now, or I'm busy doing something else, but I'll get back to you. So I mean, I am pretty boundaried, but that's because I've had to really kind of work on it. And another thing that I've done is because tattooers love fucking fighting with other studios and falling out with each other. Like, it's just drama central all the time. I mean, it is, because you've got a lot of different kinds of personalities, you've got no rules. I've asked when people contact me, like if they're having a situation with a studio, not to name names, so that I'm ultimately not involved. Because I think that's super important for me to protect myself, because I'm not getting
Totally.
dragged into anything. Some people, you know, have ultimately tried to drag me into things, but I have been very firm and said, look, you know, I'm here to help. I'll help you as much as I can, but I don't want to know like names and specifics. And I have like a date, like a privacy statement out as well, just saying like whatever people tell me is confidential. So like, if people come to me and tell me something, I'm not going to go to the other people, because that's not what I'm about. Like, I really, really want to see people getting like at least some kind of like decent advice without it being reactive, without it,
That goes back to what
I
you said
guess,
earlier.
being biased.
Yeah, that doesn't better the industry if you're just playing someone off each other. That just causes something else. Even if someone is being a complete and utter bum with, you have to.
Absolutely.
You have to take the in this situation, if X was being Y, then I would Z. Thank you.
Yeah.
And even if it's
I
fucking
try.
red hot obvious, you have to say it like that, don't
Yeah.
you?
Yeah, it is. I tried my best to be impartial. Obviously, you know, I still got a brain and I still have biases, and I do try and keep an eye on them as best I can, but I'm still a human being. But you know, every now and again, if someone came along and there was maybe a party involved, and I knew, for instance, they were a predator, or,
Yeah, that's another thing. I was thinking the
you know,
other
I
way.
thought somebody wasn't
Oh, yeah,
safe,
you're right.
or whatever,
Yeah.
you know, I would still kind of give people a heads up in some
Yeah.
situations.
I mean, that just shows my naivety to the whole thing because I was thinking completely the other way. Like, if someone came and told me, but I've met them at a convention, they were totally sound for, and I've known them for 10 years, and someone says they're doing this, and you go, yeah, well, they're not doing anything wrong there. That's you. You're being weird there. That's what I thought. But you're better than this than me. So. Probably for the best.
Yeah,
I was
yeah,
listening.
there's also a lot of perspective in it as well. Like, you know, like I obviously always try like not to choose sides, because you know, the way that someone relays information to you might not be actually what's happened as well. So I have to take it all with a pinch of salt. But yeah, I do my best to be as impartial as possible. That's why I've got the privacy statement, and my boundaries are really pretty firm. I can't think really if anyone's really pushed them either. I think
And
everyone's
so
been really respectful.
that's good because
Yeah, I think
it will
we all
probably be.
know.
Sorry, go on,
We
Lucy.
sorry, I was just going to say, we all know what it's like to have customers who overstep, try to push those boundaries. So I think as tattooers, it's like when we're trying to book in to get tattooed. If there's a tattooer who isn't trying to send the most perfect booking email ever, like I just every time I'm like, I would like it 13.2 millimeters. Here's an exact picture. I've done a tracing of the
Yeah,
drill.
please, thank you. If it's no problem, please. Okay, thank you, thank you,
Really
thank
look forward
you.
to hearing from you, but it's fine if it takes 5 years. I totally get it. We've all got lives. It would just be great to get tattooed by you before I die. And I'll travel wherever you want at any time. Here's my bank details. Here's my card. Just take what you want. So we are hyper aware of those boundaries. We've all had situations where we've been like, God. So yeah, I can't imagine there are many who would not good people who would try and push those.
And to be honest, even if they did, I wouldn't fucking let them. Like, as I've said in one of my posts, like, other people don't bake boundaries. We're the ones that break our own boundaries. You know,
You're
you set
so
your boundaries,
true.
and then somebody else steps over them. You just go, nope. But you'll find like it's always when we give in, or when we make exceptions for people. you know, oh, just this one time. If I had like a pound for every time a tattoo message in me went, I wouldn't normally do this, but like for this one time, I did this. And I was like, well, there you go. That's
Your
your first
answer's there, yeah.
mistake.
Yeah, you
Yep, you've
set your
done that to
precedent as
yourself,
well.
unfortunately.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. Oh, it's so interesting. I could literally just chat to you about it so much, and I'm like ready to sign up to both of your courses. Just find it so interesting. And actually, sometimes we do our apprenticeships, and like we're lucky. If we are lucky, we're in shops where we work with artists that we respect and who have procedures and stuff that we have learned from. But it does get to the point where you can feel a bit stagnant, and you're like, where do I go from here? And to have somebody like you who's come in and be like, I can teach you some things, like these are really beneficial to your mental health and to your well-being. It's really nice to have that option. So I'm gonna slide into your DMs in the most polite way, or email or whatever your booking practice is.
Yeah, you can absolutely give me a car. I will take your car. I will take your house. Thank
What's the
you.
cheapest you can do one course for me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. Can you do any
I've
cheaper? Yeah.
got a friend who does it cheaper.
Yeah, actually, I know.
definitely. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna message Kev Richardson actually, because I heard that it's like he'll give me a discount. Mates
I
rates.
get, do you know what? I get called Kev quite often. It's like an ongoing joke,
All right.
Kev.
I used to work
Yeah.
with a like a 6 foot rugby player, like back row, massive geezer called Heath. He's from New Zealand, and 40% of the emails he got would say, "Hi Heather," and it
Oh.
always used to make me laugh. Now
Oh.
Heath isn't a name; that must be spelt wrong. Put that in. Yeah.
Where do you see yourself going now? Do you think that you're going to try and build Tattoo Smarter, or how do you like balance out your tattooing and other ventures? What's the future hold?
So I did take on an assistant for Tattoo Smarter a little while ago, but unfortunately they had just changed jobs and had a new baby, so they actually couldn't give the time that was needed. They were actually amazing, so I'm a bit sad about it. However, I don't think I've got the capacity to teach somebody else like my ways of working. You'll know yourself, being an ND person, our brains just don't work the same as neurotypicals at all. So you know that fucking meme, the guy off Always Sunny, god, what's his name, Charlie, you know, Charlie Dane, the meme where he's like pointing at all the bits and it's
Oh
like a conspiracy with all the string. That's
yeah.
what it feels like trying to explain my brain to a neurotypical person. I don't
Yeah.
think I actually I've not got the capacity at the minute to take somebody else on. I will have to at some point so that I can grow the page, because it gets a lot of traffic. I get a lot of engagement. I mean, I've only got, I say only, this is probably a teaching moment, an educational moment for anyone listening. It doesn't matter how many followers you've got. In fact, loads of followers will probably go against you, especially with the algorithms the way that they are. You're much better off having a smaller number of very engaged followers. Like I often, when people start following me, I kick them off the Tattoo Smarter page. I'm pretty savage. Like if they're not tattooers, if they're not piercers, I just don't entertain them because the page isn't for them and they're actually skewing my numbers. So I regularly kick people off. I know that sounds really harsh, but it actually really helps my engagement. But anyway, I went off on one. What was I saying? Yeah, I've not got many followers. I've got like 4,000 followers, but you'll see I get a lot of engagement on my post, and it's because I have a particular like set of people who are interested in like what the page is about, and they're engaged. So
Yeah.
tattooers could take a lesson from that by learning what their niche is and who they're marketing to, because it's super, super important. Like we all
Yeah.
have a voice, we just have to find our people. And it's the
Yeah.
same with tattoos. Like tattoos have their own voice as well.
I have seen quite a few artists recently restarting their tattoo page, and
Yep.
that gave me the fear, like, because mine grew very fast. Like years ago, and now does nothing for me. And the engagement versus my followers is like they just don't correlate.
Yep.
But the thought of starting again is terrifying.
what you'd be better off doing is starting a sales list so that you can speak directly to your clients, to your people, all of the people who love you, who've said yes to you, who've been tattooed by you. You want them on a list and you want to talk to them regularly without using Instagram. And that'll guarantee regular sales and it'll guarantee fostering relationships with your clients.
Oh, that's useful. That's interesting. If you
I
had
can
one
tell you all
tip.
about it off the cast.
Yeah,
I'll just say
okay,
thanks.
don't give away all,
Yeah.
don't give away all the
I
good
know, I was like,
bits.
yeah. If you had another, if you had like one tip for people listening, like one Instagram tip, if for people who are feeling a bit like sick of it, what would you say?
Get off Instagram. But like you should still have an Instagram, but if it's making you feel miserable, it's not really the place to hang out. Again, what I said before, like if it's for selling work, you need a sales list. You need to be talking to your clients regularly off Instagram. But like the best tip, I guess, is just remembering that it's nothing to do with the quality of your work. It's nothing to do with how your clients feel about you or how other tattooers feel about you. And it's everything to do with the algorithms. Like Instagram ultimately wants you to pay for views. It wants you to pay in time. So it wants you to engage. Ultimately, that's the thing that's rewarded the most on Instagram, engagement. So you have to comment on people's photographs. You have to share their things. You have to like their stories. The more you do that, the more return you'll see. But the only resource that we have that isn't infinite, I mean, it's time, isn't it? So like if you're spending hours and hours a day on Instagram, it's just going to make you sad. You can never get that time back. So it's about being smart and being more efficient with your time. That'll make you happier, ultimately.
That's awesome. And yeah, so such good advice. One thing I was going to sign off then, but I forgot our one question that we're guaranteed to ask everybody each episode, and that is, if you were stranded on a desert island with three tattooers, who would you wish to be with?
Oh my God.
Sorry, I
I
should
should
have
have pr
told
I
you in
sh I know.
advance.
No, the thing is, I should have prepped for this. And I'm usually a prepper. So this is quite difficult. So I would say, I'm gonna say Paula because I get on so well with Paula. I think we're really similar. She was very recently diagnosed autistic
Yeah, I
as
saw that.
well.
Shout out, Paula. Woo.
Holly Astral.
Oh, she does lovely
Who
things, lovely
I
tattoos.
absolutely Holly is a tremendously lovely person. I really rate her as a human being. And then also I would say my friend Victoria. She's Take Me to Atlantis on Instagram. We formed a really gorgeous friendship over a very unsafe tattooer. It's not the best way. It's not the best way to form a relationship. However, we speak probably most days. Oh, can I have another one?
Sure,
Can I have an extra
there are no
person?
rules. I need
My
this one.
friend Monica. My friend
Oh,
Monica
no,
as
sorry,
well.
three. It's only three. Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Yeah, you can have an extra one if it's me. Gosh, that's
Oh my
comical.
God! I'll
Oh no,
literally be
three,
like
three,
lit.
three, just three.
I'll be listening like so. Monica is amazing. She has a shop in, God, I want to say it's near Birmingham. Is it Wolverhampton? That's the one. She's got Poison Apple in Wolverhampton. Great, amazing. Not met her in real life. We just talk on the internet, like
I love
proper geeky
that.
nerd people. Yeah.
I've got loads of friends like that, and I think it's given. Like I used to, and I was guilty of this. I used to refer to them as my internet friends,
Internet pen
not my friends,
pals.
but they are actually. And it all came from cricket and Transformers. So I would talk
What?
to people
And he's
online.
not even a virgin.
I know I've fucking done full sex on a woman at least loads, so it's fine.
These sound a lot like special interests that autistic people have.
There you go.
I see it.
So, but like, and then when you meet up with them,
I
and
see
you
it.
like, so I've met them a few times at a convention or at a cricket match or one of them I go to a festival with every year now. He's more of a friend of my brother, but still, like, we became amazing friends. And it's like, and then there's a big thing, like, and I think it was for people who didn't realize, because I came from like a quite a little village in Cambridgeshire. When the internet happened, my head span off my shoulders, because I was like, look at all this stuff. And I've got, oh, he's like me, and they're like me, and she's like me. And then when you talk to them and you become mates with them, because it doesn't matter that you've never ever hugged them, we've never high-fived them or anything, you can still tell them, you might even tell them more than you tell the mates you chat with every week.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the physicality isn't really that important. It's all about, like, the internals, isn't it? Like, your ethics, your morals, like, all of those things are the things that you make a deep connection over.
That's it. We've made
and you
so
can
many...
type that on internet.
Yeah.
We've made so many internet friends during the podcast. And there's so many people that we've only spoken to online or like on Zoom, and it's not logistically easy to see them quickly. And some of them, like, we've met afterwards, and it's been like seeing an old friend. It's awesome. But what's really the difference to, like, going and meeting somebody, meeting a tattooer in LA, meeting them once, and then being only keeping in contact on Instagram forever? It's just, this is how the world is. The internet has opened it up. Oh, fuck, it sounds so old. I said it, and I was like, the internet's really done wonders, hasn't it? And there are people listening who don't know what the world is like without the internet. So now I'm just going to go shoot myself. And thanks, Kaius. Bye.
The internet was really, like, meant for that, wasn't it? It was meant for the social aspect. It wasn't meant to be some kind of driving force where we're in a hamster wheel trying to earn an income from it. It was meant to be to speak
really
to people in Japan.
That's it. I've got some great memories from Limp Bizkit chat room.
There you go.
Janet Jackson. Yeah, but that was
Janet Jackson was in Limp Bizkit chat rooms.
Yeah, I remember speaking to somebody. My friends and I would, like, rush back to hers and log on to the PC. And what was the Windows noise it would make? Like, as it turned on.
Boom.
And 56K dial up.
Yeah. And then I specifically remember talking to someone called Dr. Love.
Shout out, Dr. Love.
ASL. And we'd be like, 27, female, island, whereas it was actually like 14.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, bad times. Kaius, I've looked forward to speaking to you for so long. I really appreciate how patient you've been in terms of, like, getting it all organized. And it's just been, it's not disappointed. It's been an absolute joy to have you on.
That's really kind. Thank you. I've really enjoyed meeting you both.
Cool. I've got one question. Even Mick. Everyone loves me more than you. Don't you forget me.
Even when you logged on to Zoom and I didn't realise you were there and I was doing my slug face.
Yeah, that's my fault.
I love that face.
When you meet, that's what you'll have to do. Just do that face. Kez, one more thing. Where can people find you?
On the Tattoo Smarter page, it's the best place to find me. It's just at Tattoo Smarter. I tell tattooers, definitely don't have your DMs open, but as a coach, I'm fine to have my DMs open because I work in a completely different way. Like, you guys aren't booking in for me with a tattoo. Like, we can be a bit more informal. So yeah, DMs are totally fine. And if people are a bit shy to start off with, they can always just look around the question and answers, and I always share anonymously, like, the questions that they ask as well. And I don't share any of the information.
Nice one.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you again.
Thank you
it's been
much,
great.
Mate.
And
you are very welcome.
I'll definitely be in touch. Thanks, Kez. And Kev.
You are welcome.
Cheers, Kev. Bye.